Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with my second-in-command, Dr. Dave, high atop the radio station. World here in downtown Portland with our Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. Today we've got an old friend of the show. He's not that old, but he's a friend of the show. Let's put it that way. Jesse Henry is coming to us live from Tulsa, Oklahoma today. Jesse's handle is Move the Chains, or it was when he was out here in the Northwest. He was a real kick butt competitor and a really nice guy, but he and his wife make up the team, so we all know who really does the work, but she wasn't available for the interview today. So our music today is from the Eagles, and we're going to do some of their classic stuff to start with, kind of, you know, Doolin Dalton's Desperado, that kind of stuff, in lieu of Jesse now being an Oklahomian. How's that? Hey, Jess, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. I love being on the show, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. You miss Oregon yet?
Not particularly. I mean, I don't miss the rain, especially in the winter.
Yeah.
I don't miss the 40 degrees and raining, but I miss parts of it, miss the people up there and some things, but for the most part, I'm pretty happy down here.
You like the 17 degrees, 40-mile-an-hour winds and the snow better?
Yeah. Well, it's
dry.
Usually sunny. It's usually sunny, you know, so it's I'll take a cold, sunny day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so. Okay. So, you've been on the show several times over the last couple, 3 years since I've been doing the show. You've been really good about being very heartfelt about answering your questions. So I thought I would ask you a couple just to get warmed up here, you might say.
Yeah.
You've been back there going on a couple of years now. Excuse me. What have you learned generally about living there as far as cooking outdoors, doing the barbecue, doing the competition?
I say I've learned a lot that it's all about the culture out here. Everyone barbecues. Everyone cooks outside. You see the same people week in, week out at each cook-off, no matter where you're going in the state. And it's a community and it's a way of life. I'd say it's really important to people down here.
Yeah. Being back there a lot over the last 40 years, I learned a lot, and I don't live there. I never did live there. I just spent a lot of time there. I mean, that's where I learned what Rotel was, you know, to make our own version of queso type thing. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things to learn back there. Are the attitudes different of the competitors back there?
It's hard to say. I mean, everyone is super competitive as far as what they want to win. I mean, people, don't get me wrong, people want to win, and a lot of people do anything they can to win, but there's still a friendliness to it. I mean, you'll see everybody joking around on Friday and talking, helping each other, helping people set up, and it was that way at the Northwest too, as far as just that barbecue community in general, that everyone's super, because everyone knows what it takes to compete, and they know it takes a lot of work.
Sure.
And so everyone's willing to help each other out.
Do you still love it as much as you did when you started, or is it more? Have you grown as far as your affinity for doing barbecue competitions?
It's different because, you know, in the beginning, it's all a lot like a marriage. You have a lot of wonder at the beginning of it, right? And there's a lot of adrenaline and stuff. And as you do it for a while and you know, you get into it, it's a lot more work. But the day-to-day is more appreciated.
I know. Hey, and speaking of marriage, I'm sorry to hear about the fight you and your wife had. I know she came in the living room the other night and asked you what was on TV, and you said dust. And then, and then it all went down from there. Anyway, I had to kind of get that one in on you. I've been working working on that one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How's your wife assimilated back there, especially to the competitions? I mean, you guys travel in a motorhome, or you did when you're out here, and you did, you know, you're pretty close knit and you don't really get away from the competitions when you're there. I know when I was competing in the horse business, the one thing we wanted to do at the end of the day was to get away from the venue and do that. And you guys really can't.
Right. I mean, we're there. We're in our motorhome. I mean, that's the advantage of having it, that we have the comforts of the motorhome, and most people do. But we still, a lot of times there's a potluck, and we'll all get together and do a meal. And she's really made a lot of friends with a lot of the other competitors and stuff. And, you know, she holds her own and you know, being able to take some of the flack that comes my way, and she can give it back for me. But, no, she's done a really good job just assimilating to Oklahoma culture in itself. I mean, it was a really big change for us to move from Oregon to Oklahoma. But, you know, I think being part of the barbecue community has made that transition easier, because also we have a group of friends that, even though we didn't know, we have felt like we've known for a while, because we've all done similar things.
What would happen if you showed up at the potluck with something like Kraft macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, that doesn't fly. They want really like homemade stuff. A lot of just you know, homemade taco dishes, tamales, or homemade desserts. Pretty much, it's a requisite. They say if you bring a store bought a dish to the potluck, don't come.
Well, you could always have some, like, and I don't know if they'd like it back there. I'm sure some of them would, you know, have like 40 pounds of Dungeness crab flown in.
I wish we could get that. We do miss the Dungeness crab. It's still one of the best crabs out there. And so, unfortunate consequence of living here, we get most of the crab and stuff from the Gulf.
Yeah. It's got that little sheen to it, that, you know, Shell Oil, Mobil, Exxon.
Right, the BP look.
The BP look. The BP look. That's good. Yeah, I like that. Well, at least you don't have to worry about seasoning the pan before you put it in the pan, you know.
It's all ready to go.
It's ready to go. You just put it in there, put a little other, you know, salt and pepper on it, and you're good, man. You're rocking. Yeah. No, that's, you sound like you're having a lot of fun back there. We're going to take a break here in just a minute, but how many competitions are you doing now?
We're going to try and do 20 this year, which is that's not as many. I mean, we could cook every weekend if we wanted to, but I think every other weekend's good, and we're going to do about 20 to 25 competitions this year.
You got to wear the tires off that motorhome of yours, man.
Yeah, well, fortunately, a lot of them are with only an hour and a half away, so we don't get too crazy. Not like back in Oregon where we were driving 1 or 2 days to a competition. So it definitely makes our being able to do more competition a lot easier living down here.
Well, where you live, if you drive one day in any direction, you've covered 8 states, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, living here in the middle of the country has its advantages that way. It's funny, I was just talking to somebody the other day, just how accessible every other part of the country is from here.
Except the Northwest.
Yeah, exactly.
I know when I used to travel a lot doing that, I would, you know, it was, I never, when I first started, I didn't understand what they meant. Like, you can't get there from here, meaning from Portland, because you always had to go someplace. You had to go to Denver, Chicago, LA, whatever. But after you've done that for about 30 years, you know exactly where you can go and where you can't go. So I'm sure you're learning that back there too.
Exactly. You know which roads to avoid and which ways to go. Fortunately, there's no mountain passes anymore that we have to go around. But yeah, you pretty much know which roads to go on.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with our buddy Jesse Henry and get caught up about what he's doing and what he's going to be doing this year right here on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away.
They were dueling, dueling Dalton. High or low, it was the same. Easy money, faithless women, red eye whiskey for the pain.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. If you would like to email us, pretty simple to do. The letters BBQ, that's BBQ Nation at KXL.com. You can do that. You can check us out on Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. Of course, we've got Twitter account, which is CowCook57. I've had that for a long time. Also, I'd like to say hello to a couple of our affiliates. 570 KVI in Seattle and KACI in Hood River and the Dalles, and everybody else along the Radio Northwest Network. We're back with our old pal, Jesse Henry. You said you're going to do 20 or so competitions, about 20. I'm just trying to think. That is, the competition itself is what, usually 2 days?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, typically, is when the competition is. We'll have 1 weekend where there's two competitions on the weekend, so we'll show up on Friday, and it'll be a Saturday turn-in, and then do it all over again and for a Sunday turn-in.
So you got to book out of whatever you're doing Thursday to get to this, it depends on where it is, but
yeah.
So you're chewing up about 4 days a week when you're doing these on average?
Yeah, typically. I mean, you spend usually a Tuesday evening is prep day. You do a lot of the meat prep and making of all the mixing up your fresh rubs and stuff for the week and repacking supplies. Do that on Tuesday, and then Thursday you're loading everything, and Friday you're rolling out in the morning to get to the venue, and then come back Saturday. Saturday, and then maybe Sunday you're reloading the RV or doing something with the RV.
Sure. Now, when you first moved back there, we talked to you a couple months after you moved back there, and then we talked to you subsequently, and you've talked about, seasonings and changing a little bit in the tastes, of course, because you've got different judges. You live in a different region now, so on and so forth. But after having been there for as long as you have, from when you started, when you first got there and were making those changes to what you're using today, what's the difference?
I would say just more, I'm just trying to balance everything out again, just with this little bit of back end heat to it. Kind of more in the Northwest, you couldn't really have any heat at all. It would just not score well. Down here, you have to have a little bit of heat in the thing, but you still have to have that balance of the sweet, the savory, the salt, and all those flavors that hit your mouth on each bite with a little bit of back end heat there at the end.
So what do you think is more important? You're very experienced in this. What do you think is more important? The heat, the sweet, the salt?
It all blends together. I can't tell you that one thing is more important than the other because each part of it does a little bit different, right? And it hits different areas in your mouth. So you want a kind of a salt shot right at the beginning, because that really opens up your palate and gets your saliva going. And then you kind of hit that with a sweet and kind of gives you that warm feeling. And then you finish it off with more of a heat at the back end. You're like, oh, that's a lasting impression.
Well, when you're talking about heat at the back end, if you get it too hot, you'll definitely have that. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's a balance. You have to make sure, you're not overdoing it. You just want a little bit there that they know, oh, that's a nice heat at the end. So it's been a learning process on how much to put in and what kind. They use cayenne, they use habanero, they use jalapeno, how those different heats actually develop in your mouth as you're eating the food.
Now, in that same question in reverse, have any of the locals or your fellow competitors that you're working with now, Have any of them kind of looked to you to make any changes from what you brought with you as far as knowledge?
I mean, it's like, I would say a lot of the older teams probably don't look to me as much because they still view me as a little bit of an outsider, but a lot of the newer teams do look at me and then will ask me questions about, you know, what to use when or how to do stuff, and I usually help them out a lot.
Oh, they'll get over that, you being an outsider in 10 or 15 years, maybe 20.
Yeah, exactly.
So, are you wearing a cowboy hat yet?
I got some cowboy boots. I'm not really a cowboy hat guy. I know Jeff Tracy.
Well, yeah, but I grew up doing that stuff. You know, yeah. I was Roy Rogers and Heck Harper and all those guys. So when I was little, but yeah, you can. You know, you spend enough time out in that Oklahoma sun, though, you'll figure it out. Trust me.
Right.
You'll be seeing you back here someday with like a 14-inch sombrero on. You know,
yeah,
meaning the brim size. So like that. What's the toughest grill you go to? The toughest cook you go to, you've experienced since you've been back there?
I would say it's actually one here at the beginning of the season. It's here actually end of the month. It's in Shawnee, Oklahoma. It'll be our second competition this year, and that's a 2-day event. There's going to be 100 teams. There will be, probably the top, I would say 30 of the top 40 teams in the world will be there. They're all here in the Northwest, and everybody puts this on the calendar as the go-to comp. It's one of the toughest fields in the nation as far as what you'll see on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I think I told you a long time ago that I spent a month there one weekend in Shawnee, Oklahoma, judging a show, and it was so bloody hot because it was in July.
Yeah.
I almost melted. I actually got sunburned. I had really thin dress socks on.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got the top of my feet where when you'd walk, your slacks would pop up, you know, how it does?
Yeah.
Because we couldn't wear jeans. And I actually got the top of my hands and the top of my feet sunburned through my socks. That was crazy. that was really crazy. But, you know, it was a great experience overall.
Yeah, and what's cool is actually Shawnee is such a good venue for all kinds, like you said, for horse shows, for conventions, barbecue contests. So that we're launching this year as part of the Oklahoma Barbecue Society. We're the first youth nationals barbecue contest, and this is going to be we're trying to get 100 kids. It's going to be like we're trying to get as big as like a American Royal type. Atmospheres,
sure.
Is having that many people. So we're doing that this year in Shawnee, Oklahoma in November.
Cool. You're going to have to keep us posted on that. We're going to take another break here on Barbecue Nation and be back with our pal Jesse Henry right after this. Remember, turn it, don't burn it. I'm JT. Dr. Dave's out polishing his orange car. He's probably telling me it's red, but I'm telling you it's orange. If you see kind of a guy looking over the steering wheel driving up Highway 26 just outside of Portland, that would be Dr. Dave. Anyway, again, if you'd like to email us, it is Barbecue Nation, BBQ, the letters, and then the word nation at KXL.com. You can also send us recipes at KXL.com. And if we use one of yours, like one of your recipes or something, then you know what? We'll just give you a prize for it. How's that? We were talking with Jesse Henry again today, our pal that moved from here back to Tulsa World. And I'm still having trouble getting my head wrapped around that you moved from here to Tulsa for some reason, man. I don't know why. I don't know. It just seemed unlikely knowing you, but.
It's a polar opposite, that's for sure. But like I said, it reminds us of Portland 25 years ago. It's got an up and coming art scene. It's got up and coming culinary scene. I've become pretty good friends with some of the restaurant owners in here, and they have a vision for Tulsa that is very similar to Portland. you know, that way, you know, in Austin and stuff like that. They won. This is kind of like, you know, I guess a poor man's version of all that, but we're getting there, and we got a new mayor, and they're updating the streets. They're trying to update the schools and get the, you know, town growing again.
I don't know if Tulsa's poor, Jesse, because they got a hell of a lot of oil around there.
They do. Well, let's just say there's a large gap between the top and the bottom,
got it.
But they're working on filling in that middle and just to grow the town again.
So this has nothing to do with barbecue, but have you had any chances to play golf since you've been back there?
I played once. Yeah, it's not bad. I haven't had time for it. Unfortunately, I grew up playing golf almost every day, and now it's like I hardly play at all. But a lot of great golf courses around here. It's definitely everyone's into it. A lot of, you know, Southern Hills is here, and we're gonna have a senior PGA is gonna be here next year, if not this year. It's gonna be here sometime, but it's a definitely golf culture here too.
Oh yeah, no, like I said, I've spent an awful lot of time back there. So
yeah.
A lot of my friends golf when they weren't riding horses; they were on the golf course. So I guess my big question for you is, are you ready for a new version of the lightning round?
I'm always up for lightning round. It's my favorite part of the show.
Okay. Well, yeah. You don't hear me just rambling on. So, Jesse Henry, here is your lightning round questions for this week on Barbecue Nation. Who is the best in barbecue besides you?
Donnie Teal.
Okay. Have you smoked an armadillo yet?
Have not run over a couple, but not smoked them yet.
Did you put the Lone Star beer bottle in their hands and set them up so they're sitting upright?
I did not think that, but I do have some Lone Star in the fridge.
Okay, well, keep one. You know, it can be an empty. You just put it in them.
Yeah.
But when next time you hit one, because the first time I saw that in Texas, man, I about laughed my ass off.
Right.
It was funny. Armadillo probably didn't think it was too funny, but everybody else did. Who's the hottest new person or newest thing on the barbecue circuit?
I would say a team out of Texas called Boomerang Barbecue. I think they started just a couple of years ago, but they're on fire right now. I think they're pretty much winning everything they're entering right now. And they're top of the KCBS standings, and they're good people, Matthew and Sarah Walker.
There you go. Hey, if you could work with one of your barbecue heroes for like – a weekend just hanging out and working with him, smoking, grilling, cooking, who would it be?
It'd definitely be Donnie Teal. He's and he lives right here in Sperry. So he's definitely a barbecue legend. I'd hang out with that guy anytime, any chance I got.
Oh, there you go. On a scale of 1 to 10, Jesse, how much barbecue do you eat on a regular basis?
Let's see. It depends. I think when I go to places like out of town or whatever, I pretty much hit every barbecue restaurant I can when I'm there. As far as when I'm home, I don't eat much anymore because I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. You sound like Artie Davis. I asked Artie a question like that, and he said he'd come back from judging the Jack, and they were driving back to Oklahoma. I think he lives in Oklahoma or
Kansas.
And he said the same thing. I said, don't you want to like stop at a Chinese restaurant or something? He goes, no, we stopped at every barbecue joint on the way home. It's like,
yeah, I mean, that's what you do. You enjoy it. You go, you know, if I go back to Portland, you know, I'm going to go visit Matt's barbecue trailer, wherever he opens up again somewhere, or I'm going to go, you know, visit my buddy Greg Fugino down at the Woodstock Wine and Deli and just try some good barbecue.
Well, there you go. Hey, if we put your cooking skills to music, what would the music be?
Let's see. Some music to skills, I would guess. Right now, I'd say Life in the Fast Lane, since it's an Eagles theme day.
It is.
Life in the Fast Lane.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's a pretty good one. I like that. Biggest change that you think should be made during or within barbecue competitions? I mean, what's one thing you think that needs to be addressed?
I think a little bit of judging, it always comes down to judging, right? But so it needs to be more standardized so you get the same experience at each contest. Sometimes you just don't get, you get different cycles of judges, so they score differently, which is fine, but from contest to contest, it makes it difficult.
Yeah, but as long as you have that, and I can tell you this from my experience in other worlds, being an official, you have a standard set of rules, and the rules have to be pretty implicit about things. But as long as you've got that human element in there as far as making the final decision,
yeah,
you know, it'll always be a bit different.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I told we, and mostly, I think most people understand it, but it all boils down to how the judges were trained. You know, each judge from a different year has been trained differently.
Sure.
And so it makes it a little bit like, you know, where does this person start on the scale, or should they start on the scale of 1 to 9 and whatnot. So a little bit of that needs to be just evened out so everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, and it's tough to do. I mean, it is tough to do because this is such a subjective situation. I mean, you can look at it and say you can probably get everybody within a point or two on the appearance and things like that. But once you get to the taste part, that's where you're probably getting the biggest point spreads, I'm guessing.
Exactly. It's just like you go to a restaurant and you go with your friends and you all try each other's dish. Everyone's going to have a different opinion about each dish.
Sure. Sure. It's just like my mother's lima beans. Well, I don't know. Most people didn't like those. Anyway, back to our lightning round here. I modified this one just for you. Did you ever cook in a thunderstorm in your underwear versus a snowstorm?
Oh. How about in my pajamas?
That counts.
Yes.
That counts.
Yes, I have.
Would you describe yourself as corn-fed or grass-fed?
Corn-fed for sure.
There you go. Me too. Captain and Tennille or Nickelback?
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to go with Nickelback.
That I don't even thought, are those guys still alive? I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they?
I actually went to their concert when I lived in Portland, if you can imagine that. But that was ages ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, they kicked out a lot of music, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
If your life was a movie and your barbecue skills and competition was a movie, what would the movie be?
Oh, my gosh. That's a really good question. I always like Gladiator, so that's it. I just hope I don't die at the end.
Yeah, you think you could float above the ground like Russell Crowe
did? I think
so,
yeah. You know? Something like that.
Or you have that good-looking woman come out, whatever her name is. I can't remember her name, the actress. She says, you know, this was a Roman, and he died for Rome and all that stuff. I don't think you want to die for barbecue, though.
Exactly. But I've made, you know, if you think about it, we've made a, you know, we started up in the Northwest. We've made a long journey to somewhere else, you know, we're trying to be successful again. So it's kind of like that situation where he was successful in one area and then now had to rebuild his life and start over and became successful again. So it's kind of sort of similar.
Yeah, I think you got a better shot at it, you know, instead of being a Roman slave or a gladiator. I think barbecue's probably better to run with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show with our buddy Jesse Henry live from Tulsa today. You're listening to The Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and on KSEY down in Seymour, Texas. So stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, welcome back to The Nation. I am JT, and we're talking with Jesse Henry today from Tulsa, vis-a-vis originally from here in the Northwest, outside of Portland. Hey, are you still competing under the name Moving the Chains?
Yes, absolutely. That's a competition name, and we're definitely keep that name. So it has a lot of meaning for us, and we still use it.
Can they find you on Facebook with that?
Yes, Moving the Chains Barbecue on Facebook.
And you got pictures and trophies and, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is you'll put on there?
Yeah, you'll see results from our contest, where we're going next. And, you know, you'll see pictures of our smokers and stuff. And we put up a video over Christmas on how to deep fry a prime rib and do stuff like that. So it's interesting.
You didn't blow it up, did you? The prime
no.
rib?
It's awesome.
I just think it's funny because we, every year at the holidays, in fact, we talked about this on the show, on the Christmas show out here, people, you know, want to deep fry a turkey for that or New Year's or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it in kind of an enclosed area, like their garage.
Yeah, or which, a deck or something.
Yeah, and the turkey's frozen and they put it in there and then the thing blows up like a missile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of funny to watch, but not too funny to deal with.
Right, exactly.
So what are your goals this year, Jesse?
Our goal is to win. I mean, I think we've been here long enough. It's time to turn the corner and really like to win a contest or two and get back into the American Royal this year. That's our number one goal. And our next goal is to finish in the top five in the Oklahoma Barbecue Society team race, which is very competitive. We've got about 25-30 teams that legitimately could win a contest every weekend. We compete against them. So if we feel like we're in the top five, we feel like we had a pretty good year.
Does that, if you're in the top five, does that give you entree into other competitions?
Well, it gets us a little more year-end money, plus the prestige. Like, hey, you're top five in Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a tough place to compete. A lot of teams won't travel down here because they go home with their tail between their legs. So it's a tough place. So it's just more a matter of a pride issue on my part, just trying to get up there in the top five. I think 2 years ago we were in the top 10. Would really like to be in the top five this year.
Does that make some people kind of raise their eyebrows? Like, who is this guy coming in here? And, you know, like I said, they'll accept you in 15, 20 years, but you've only been there a couple now.
Yeah, exactly. I think we were shocked some people when we first got here because they didn't know who we were. You know, we've been around them enough to where, you know, hey, they know who we are and you know, they're watching us or, you know, if they're the Calcutta, we get picked, you know, we're like, oh, you know, we used to be a sleeper team and now everybody picks us early. So it's interesting.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, it's nice to be loved. Even in Tulsa, it's nice to be loved.
That's right.
Do you ever think...
Like I said, I think majority of people root for each other, but secretly everyone themselves wants to win, right?
Well, sure. Do you ever think about you becoming a judge?
I've tried it. Like, I've judged a couple contests. It's... Not right now. It's not for me. I'm too competitive. I'm too, like, into it. I'm like, I should be cooking this contest, not judging it. So if I feel like I can drive there and judge, I'm going to cook it. If that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, I used
so
to.
Maybe a few years down the road, you know, I get tired of a little bit of the hauling all the gear and stuff, and maybe I'd roll into judging or running a contest. I'd probably do that. I probably would organize a contest or two.
Well, wait till they start paying judges. Then you can get into doing that.
Exactly.
And I don't know. They must pay their judges like at the Jack and some bigger stuff, but I don't think they do on the locals, do they?
No, they don't. No. You know, that's the thing. Everyone, no one makes money in barbecue except somebody. So,
yeah.
And nobody knows who that is.
Well, when you find out, would you let me know, please?
I will.
All right. Jesse. You'll
be the second person to know.
Yeah, well, tell your wife first. I mean, my God, you know, she, I don't want to get in a big rhubarb there. It's good to talk to you, my friend. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll,
it has been.
We'll follow up with you a little later, headed towards summer, to see how you're doing, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. And I always love coming on the show. And hi to everybody back in Portland. And everybody in Barbecue Nation, we love being on the show.
Oh, thanks, man. We're going to be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Our guest is going to be Richard Burt, another local guy that's done well in the restaurant end of things, and he does a little competition. So for Dr. Dave and myself, we wish you all having a great week. And we've said goodbye to Jesse, so now we're going to say goodbye to you. Take care, everybody.